There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. About the world, life on planet Earth, when and how. We turn now to revelations to me about early Earth. I mean very early, 3.6 billion to 4 billion years ago. And the understanding of how life either started here or was enhanced here on Earth. I welcome Professor Dustin Trail, the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Rochester, who with his colleague Thomas McCollum of the University of Colorado have published a revelatory piece to me. This is heavy chemistry. Dustin will help me. The title is Relatively Oxidized Fluids Fed Earth's Earliest Hydrothermal Systems. Why that is suggestive, of course, is either life was in those systems or comes from those hydrothermal systems. Dustin, congratulations. This is in Science Magazine, which is the premier peer-reviewed magazine in America, matching Nature. And we begin with the challenge. How is it that life evolved or was enhanced on planet Earth? You are looking at zircon. What is zircon? Why is that a good start for the detective work that you and your colleague have done? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. So zircon is a remarkably durable mineral. It is both physically durable, which means it can be transported by wind and water without breaking down, and it is also chemically durable, which means that once it forms, once it crystallizes, it locks in its chemistry from the time of formation. And so we're very lucky and privileged, in a sense, to have access to this mineral from the formative stages of our planet's history. So we have zircons on our planet. They're the oldest terrestrial solids that extend back to 4 billion and even 4.4 billion years in some cases. And so that was really the focus of this study, is to decode the chemistry that is housed within these zircon crystals.
All right, we're looking at a sample of something that existed at the time of speculation. Either life is fed by metals or life is enhanced by metals feeding. You report that you had to constrain in your modeling the oxygen fugacity, the chlorine, and the temperature. What does that mean, Justin?
Oh, those are all great questions. So let's start with probably the most complicated concept, which is oxygen fugacity. And I'll start by explaining this with a simple analogy. So right now, Earth's atmosphere has approximately 21% oxygen in the atmosphere today. So if we were to represent that as just a simple fraction, that would be 0.21. And so the oxygen fugacity of Earth's atmosphere is 0.21. Now, if we take that general concept and extend it into the Earth, it turns out that magmas and fluids also have oxygen fugacities or oxygen pressures. And so what we wanted to do as part of this study is to constrain the oxygen pressure of fluids that were interacting with rock more than 4 billion years ago. And we see evidence for why this might be important today. For instance, if we are considering chromium or arsenic in groundwater, we know that the mobility of chromium and arsenic in groundwater, as well as the solubility of those elements, is a function of the oxygen fugacity or the oxygen pressure. So if you kind of take that simple concept and extend that deep into the earth to hydrothermal fluids, the same concept applies. The mobility and the solubility of metals depends on the oxygen pressure. So that's number one. How are we doing so far?
We're doing fine. We're trying to establish what the zircon was experiencing at the moment of contact with the water coming from off the planet, usually in the form of meteors or asteroids or comets. So we've established the oxygen fugacity, which you've constrained to original elements. Now we go to chlorine content. Why is that important?
Yes. Let's talk about chlorine content. So if we, for any of us that have been to the ocean today, we know that our oceans have high salinity. This is in large part due to chemical weathering of rocks. So the reason that oceans are salty is because rocks have weathered to produce solubilized ions that give it this sort of salty character. Well, it turns out that chlorine, in addition to being a product of weathering, is also instrumental in mobilizing elements and metals within hydrothermal fluids. So we also need to constrain the chlorine content of this fluid if we are to say anything about the mobility of metals within the lithosphere or within the solid component of the Earth 4 billion years ago.
So we've a moment. I want to make sure the chlorine then today is not the chlorine then. We're trying to get back to that moment. Is that what?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. It's a key variable that influences the mobility of metals within high temperature fluids.
I see. Please continue. I just wanted to characterize why it is that chlorine is important. We have to oxygen is important at the time, chlorine important at the time, and one more thing you constrain: temperature. What does that mean?
Temperature. So temperature, of course, we have experience with this in our everyday lives. If we heat something up on the stove, we see changes in the composition of that material. We can see sugar will turn into tar, for example. We also know that temperature controls the solubility of elements and chemical components in fluids. And so this is also an important component, an important variable that we need to constrain to provide us with an accurate and clean picture of what's happening with these hydrothermal fluids inside the Earth billions and billions of years ago.
You're looking to, and now I take your very careful language, to model the solubility and transportation of metals for life. Please unpack that. Metals for life is the payoff, I understand. Modeling the solubility. Did we just do that when we talked about oxygen, chlorine, and temperature?
Those are essential inputs into geochemical models that enable us to model the solubility of metals and fluids. Let's take perhaps us a few steps back and, as you said, unpack this. And let's talk about the way in which we study life today. So we study life with genomics, it's the study of genes and their function, proteomics, the study of proteins that are produced by an organism, the structure of those proteins, the stability and the interaction with the environment. And then there's metallomics, which is essentially the metal-assisted function in modern and past life. So metal ions they're key to the chemistry of life. Something like a quarter to a third of all proteins require a metal cofactor or a helper ion or a helper molecule that helps those proteins do their job. These are metals like copper and iron and zinc and molybdenum, and they allow a protein to complete or to function as it was designed. And so this really hints at a strong connection between the earth, prebiotic chemistry, and the origin of life. So those metals, they must have come from the earth. And if we're interested in unraveling how life may have emerged on our planet, we need to be thinking about that interface between inorganic chemistry and the solid earth. And so that is one component of the modeling that we did. We were able to essentially establish what metals were being filtered out of the solid earth, taking into consideration temperature and chlorine content and the oxidation state of the fluid, to establish which metals may have been interacting with the near surface of our planet in hydrothermal pools around the time when life may have emerged.
That's what you mean by aqueous systems. That's a hydrothermal pool is an aqueous system. So let me picture this as you do for your science magazine. It's a wonderful illustration for us non-chemistry majors. The meteor hits planet Earth. It's rocky. We're not in ocean here. We're in rocky part of the rocky and wet planet. It passes through all of the lithosphere and is heated up and is transported back towards the surface where it emerges as a hot spring or a hydrothermal pool. However, it passes through pieces of the lithosphere that are zircon. And that's what you have as a clue, passing through that zircon. And when it reaches the hot spring, it is that at that point that you're speculating, not speculating, at that point that we all speculate that either this is the material that creates the biome or it's feeding a biome already in the pool. Did I say that correctly?
That is largely correct. I would add a couple of components to your explanation, which is that a good modern analog to think about this, to kind of brace or to anchor ourselves, is the hydrothermal pools in Iceland or the hydrothermal pools in Yellowstone. So these are nice analogs wherein, and forgive the terminology that geologists use, when we discuss meteoric water, that also means rainfall, for instance. And so this water could have been supplied by rainfall on top of a hydrothermal spring. And it's that water that is circulating down through the solid part of the earth at that point in time, being reheated by a magma body or a magma chamber. And now hot fluids are buoyant. And so they have a tendency to rise back to the surface, feeding these hydrothermal pools.
You've used the zircon chemistry as a proxy, if I read your reporting, and that's because we have zircon from 3.6 to 4 billion years ago. So we come to this pool of metals, and I think of these metals, it's hard to think of metal as food, but that's what it is, right? It's a food for prebiotic material. We better do a definition. What is understood in chemistry to be prebiotic?
Oh, that is a very, very interesting question. And I can essentially guarantee you that you will receive different answers depending on who you speak with. I'll give you a couple of examples, though. Amino acids, for example, the so-called building blocks of modern day life, they are effectively combined to produce proteins. That is an example of a prebiotic compound. And I define that as a prebiotic compound because we find amino acids in meteorites. So anything that can be produced without the involvement in life should be considered prebiotic.
I see. Metals from afar, metals from the earth. Now we're approaching the hydrothermal pool and what's in it, but I believe there are some possible other examples of how this could happen. So when we come back, zircon is the detective work, and dust and trail of the University of Rochester with his colleague Thomas McCollum are publishing this detective work in Science Magazine. It isn't how we got here, but it might be. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.